Hey y'all, it's B, the tackling strategist. Was up all night doing paperwork and on the phone with some residents, and I wanted to upload this particular segment before we start talking about some things that we have going on that's on the horizon. We will be putting up signs on billboards stating do not sell, and especially letting people know the Texas laws that specifically pertain to tax lien properties at auction, and that is the Do Not Sell campaign and Do Not Lose Your Property campaign. We can help. And so let me tell you why that is. There is a difference in property retention and maintaining property. And so I realize that for the sake of clarity, I probably should have the verbiage on my website and some of my, flyers and some of the circulars that go out and some of the verbiage that I use. I probably should have said, I am a property retention business, but for the sake of clarity, I probably should use property ownership retention, because that way there would be no question as to what we are trying to retain. Now, it's a slippery slope, but I have a lot of new people on here. So I'm going to start at this. I think this is like 79 or number 78. On the podcast episodes, and to keep you from having to sift through all the different episodes, I want to make sure you understand that my company, we do two things primarily. We work to help our protected groups age in place. Okay, and we consider our protected groups seniors, veterans, and the disabled. Now, we kind of go a little bit further with this, and we look at the different types of circumstances that happen to people when they lose their property. Homelessness is one. The threat of homelessness is one. But here's the thing. You see, it's like racism. It's a system of things that happen, and it's not just one thing that happens. So the system that I'm speaking of is the fact that home insecurity, the threat of homelessness, is a social determinant of health. See, it's more than houses. And we work to retain homes for the sake of people and not for the sake and ownership and control of buildings. And I just want to make sure that's clear. And because people get confused because they want to know, how are we investors? And at the same time, telling people not to sell. Well, being an investor and becoming a neighbor of someone who's already there is much better than us going through the day thinking about taking over or owning the property for a project. Okay? See, we got too many people going through these neighborhoods acting as if they own these neighborhoods and as if their word is the final word as to what's going to be done. You can wish and hope something happens, but in an established neighborhood that's already established, that already has meets and bounds, that already has home addresses, that already has legal descriptions, that doesn't have to be, doesn't have to be developed, already established. It's easier for us to help people maintain those properties than it is for someone to come in and develop. So we when a person like myself is only concerned about the people and how they fare when they lose their property, it's going to be the total antithesis, the total opposite of someone who sees only land and the capabilities of developing it. See where I'm coming from? I want to make sure it's perfectly clear what we do. We work to retain ownership, help the residents to retain ownership of their property, not maintain these buildings. So when I go places and speak, I have to make sure I put the word ownership in there and people get it. Because please don't think that our goal is out here to retain property, to move, to get somebody to make it look appealing to someone new. Because that is just another word for gentrification. I'm not against people moving anywhere they want to move. I'm against others being hurt by them moving in a certain place. Got it? So don't, there's no question about it. And people know how to reach me. I would tell anyone. Now, let me say this for the sake of this, the file of this particular episode. I want to see more developers talk about these. They'll talk about dumping, which is a good topic. It's, you know, aesthetically, talk about dumping. They'll talk about crime, of course. Nobody's talking about these corner store merchants, where these stores look a mess on the outside and the inside, falling apart. Because a lot of people who maintain the stores don't think that the people in the neighborhoods care and concerned about aesthetics. See, you all can't tell me you're concerned about aesthetics and then you're looking over some things. See, my team and I founded the Corner Store Watchdogs years ago. And with that, we went into stores and we did a check. People complain about the black youth who hang around the stores. They say they're selling drugs. But if you think that the store merchant isn't involved in that too, you know, there's something wrong with you. We know that the eight liners in the stores, the gambling machines, we know that they're being paid for their winnings. But I found out when we founded this thing years ago that all they had to do was put a sign in the glass enclosure where their register is, and all they have to do is protect themselves, is say for entertainment purposes only. So if the task force comes in and hauls people off to jail, they're protected. So again and again and again, people are looking, are coming to predominantly black neighborhoods to have an advantage. They don't think people care. And they really don't think that the authorities care about how much money, aside from all the spoiled crap in the stores and all the goods, that canned goods that are old, rusted, the stores not kept, the stores not brought up to code, the stores looking a mess. So when you convince me that you care about all things in the neighborhood, is when I will be convinced that you care about the people. See, we're caring about two different people. The people I care about are the seniors and the veterans and the disabled, because I know that other things happen when they lose their homes after they've paid a mortgage for 30 years, only to lose when they should be burning their mortgages, which is as a saying that they used to say in the country of Louisiana, when you make your final payment of your mortgage, it's a time for celebration. That was a burden that is no longer there. So only to turn around today in these times is be met with an additional burden, which is excessive tax assessments. Now they got to worry about that. Now their health suffers. No sirs and no ma'ams. I couldn't care less about what anybody is preparing for newcomers. And until we take care of the people who are already here in the way we should be caring for them, and not just fluff and not just talk. Okay? I do not care about what the neighborhood looks aesthetically to someone new until we take care of the people who are already here. And I don't have to keep talking about bringing up the reparations word, because anybody knows what I mean is that this country owes us, and the country should be first in helping. This city, the government, should be first in helping the protected groups keep their properties looking pleasing to them, not pleasing to nobody who's coming into the neighborhood. Nobody cares about them. I don't. The neighborhood doesn't. The people don't. The people are just trying to hold on. I tell the community to choose what you want to concern yourself with, but always let it be you. And let's say something else. I'm not new on this scene. I just have kept a very low profile for years, because I know when people have money and they think they have influence, what damage they can do. I'm not afraid of anybody. Nobody can out-talk me on this thing. I've been doing this work a long time. I've been a community advocate a long time, dealing with different issues in the community. We've always dealt with housing, because we've always been investors. But we don't gobble it up just because it's available. We make sure they don't want it. Now, there are lots of people who don't want their properties. Then we purchase. Then the people that I trained to purchase the property, then we move them in. Our investors, our end buyers, our wholesalers. This is how we operate. It's different than how a lot of people operate, because we're not out here grabbing stuff that's because it's available and blaming the poor for being poor. We're never going to do that. So I just wanted to make this particular segment, because we had a two-hour Zoom call last night. We got a lot of things done, and we talked to residents. We talked to residents about how we, going to tackle certain things. So for the people who called about the courses, I'm going to show you the private group that we have on social media, and I'm going to message you and show you how to how to enter into those groups where we are talking and having our live. I don't do my courses there, but I do certain videos and audios in that group on certain days when we have things to talk about, or we have people who have a question and answer, who have questions and want answers, to ask me anything, all that type of stuff. We'll make sure you can enter. But I just thought it was important to mention that I may have to start saying that I am a property ownership retention, since people want to act like retention and them maintaining their property are the same thing. It's not. We're talking about retaining ownership. We're talking about people, not buildings. I was just trying to make it plain. I'll talk to you all in the next segment.